Welcome to the NBA Panel with your host, John Witherspoon. The NBA Panel covers the league to keep you up to date with NBA news, movements, and stats. Join us as we discuss the sport that we love, the NBA. And now, here's your host, John Witherspoon.
Yes, welcome to episode 124 of the NBA Panel. I'm your host, John Witherspoon. Today, we're joined by Big 3 co-founder, Q Vision COO, the firm founder and CEO, entertainment industry executive, Jeff Quadnitz. What's going on, Jeff?
Hey, how you doing?
How you doing? Thanks for joining me today. Yeah, you got a lot going on right now. I know you're a busy man.
a lot of traveling.
The Big 3 has taken off and is doing very well right now. Is this how you expect it to be in year three? Going into year three?
I would say, you know, we expected, you know, it to be taken seriously and become, you know, credible in basketball, right, which it has. You know, it's been a lot harder work-wise than we anticipated.
Right.
I guess that's how every new venture always is.
Right.
And, you know, it's a lot. It's a lot to do. But Cube and I are doing it. And, you know, the one thing that we expected more of is that we thought there would be more support from people like ESPN.
Right.
If, you know, we really did establish a true credible league, which we have. And, you know, these are players that have been all over,
right,
you know, ESPN's airwaves. So surprising that there's not more love there. But then again, we have a lot of love from a lot of other writers and sports people. And so that's been heartening.
Definitely. Definitely. Because the names keep getting bigger for the Big 3. I mean, like Gilbert Arenas has stepped onto the scene, and Joe Johnson just came on and took his spot. Like, he just recently came out of a game recently for the first time. Can you speak on Joe Johnson's immediate impact?
I mean, I knew Joe Johnson when he signed up.
Right.
Was going to make a big impact just because he's Joe Johnson, and he's a great player. Easily could still be in the NBA, and he may elect to do that.
Right.
He's gotten offers. And also, you know, not to be missed, I mean, he's got a great coach in Lisa Leslie and a great teammate in Al Jefferson, who himself could still be in the NBA. So it's not like there's an easy answer to Joe, because you come off him and then you get burned by Al.
Right.
So I think they put together a really good team, and I'm not surprised at all how effective they've been. And, you know, it's good to see Joe smile and to do so well and to have fun, you know.
Right.
You know, he's an unbelievable player, both ways, offense and defense.
Yeah.
Which is, to succeed in this league, you know, I think that's what you have to be able to do.
Exactly.
To be able to play both ways.
Yeah, because the Big 3 is 3-on-3 basketball, and you got to, like you said, be on offense and get right back on defense. So you got to be in shape to play in that league, and it's definitely a competitive league.
Yeah, and it's very, you know, it's very personal. You know, when you're playing offense and defense,
right?
You know, there's nowhere to hide. So if you're not good at defense, you know, these teams have figured out how to, you know, isolate you and embarrass you.
Exactly.
So, you know, you got to be able to do both.
You guys play at some of the biggest venues in the country. I mean, what do you guys sit down and think about when you go into the process of selecting the venue? Because I've covered the Big 3 on a few occasions, and like Barclays just recently in Philadelphia, the Wells Fargo Center, mm-hmm. You guys are all over. What goes into the venue selection?
Well, you know, there's two things. One, we want to go to, you know, cities that have big basketball, you know, fan bases.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes that means a city like Seattle, that doesn't currently have an NBA team. And other times, you know, we also want to spread it out and get to as many cities as we can just to build the fan base. So, you know, it's not a super scientific process. It's obvious that New York and Chicago and Dallas are great markets.
Right.
You know, part of it is also the cities that want us, that reach out. You know, certain markets make it easier. For example, Washington, D.C., we really think is a big market for us, but the venue there just makes it very tough financially to go in. But most venues work with us, and, you know, we've had mayors or governors attend at least half the events from year one on. So, you know, they recognize that it's a good thing for their city, and, you know, and a lot of places lobby for it.
Right.
So.
What was your initial reaction when you when the Big Three idea first came up?
I mean, you know, we worked on it for about a year. So when we first started talking about it, it was, you know, Cube and I, we've done so many creative things together.
Yes, you have. Yes, you have.
You know, and when we look at ideas, you know, we try to work through them and see, okay, it seems like a good idea on the surface.
Right.
Let's do the work and see if it really is. And, you know, we talked every day about it for a year and worked out different ideas and, you know, the whether from the rules or the organization of the league or how we would market and promote it or recruit players, it really evolved. And about a year in, you know, we looked at each other and said, maybe it's time to stop talking and I think this one is ready to go.
Right.
And, you know, we burned the ships, as we said at the time, because we knew once we got into it, we knew it was going to be a lot of work.
Right.
And a lot of investment. And you know, we also felt a real responsibility to the players. You know, unlike, you know, leagues almost always fail, new leagues. And there a lot of things were tried in basketball. You know, we've seen things recently tried in football that have failed. And, yeah. You know, the players and the coaches are left holding the bag. And we wanted to make sure that we were not going to let down our heroes. You know, this came out of, you know, Cube being bummed that he couldn't see Kobe anymore after his last game. He scored 60 points. And, you know, a lot of players that we believe should still be playing and who we admired and we're such fans. So the last thing we wanted to do is let down, you know, Dr. J and Clyde Drexler and Joe Johnson. You know, we want to know, you know, when we tell them this is going to be something that's good for their careers, that's fun, and that works, that we were going to deliver it. So.
What are your thoughts on the job that Clyde Drexler has done as commissioner?
Unbelievable job. You know, Clyde Drexler doesn't need to prove himself any more in basketball. He's done virtually everything a basketball player can do, but he loves the league, and he is committed so fully to it. It's been just, first of all, an honor, you know, as such a fan of his.
Right.
But to get to know him as a person, and I like to say he's the happiest guy I know. He's always laughing. He's always happy. He always sees the good in things.
Right.
And his commitment is unbelievable. You know, when there are issues, he dives right in and deals with it. I mean, he's, you know, we're lucky to have him. He could easily be, you know, the NBA commissioner, and he would do a good job at that too.
Yes, he would. Your chairman of the board, Amy Trask, she commands the room when she walks in. I had the pleasure of covering the Big Three Championship post-game press conference in 2018 when Power won it, and she walked in the room, just commanded attention. Can you speak on her and what she brought to the league?
Yes. I mean, I've known Amy for more than 25 years, as has Cube. And she's incredible. I mean, first of all, she was hired by Al Davis, and she was the CEO of the Raiders for close to two decades.
Yes.
And that kind of tells you everything you got to know.
Exactly.
You know, she's able to, like, run that organization with those huge players, command respect there, and command Al Davis's respect. You know, she's a firebrand, and she's also a brilliant and caring person.
Right.
So, you know, we're, again, very lucky because she has so much experience in sports. You know, Clyde and Amy bring so much to Cube and I because,
right,
you know, our experience was mostly in, you know, music and film and TV. And while promoting arena events and things like that, we brought to it, you know, having the intimate knowledge of basketball that Clyde has, or, you know, being able to run one of the most successful franchises in the world, like the Raiders, you know, being able to draw on that is an incredible luxury that we have.
Yeah, you guys hired Nancy Lieberman, and she just came onto the scene and won a championship and already added to a winning culture that the league is producing. I mean, I had the pleasure of interviewing her a few times covering the Big Three. What do you think Nancy has brought to the league?
I mean, Nancy, first of all, she's brought extreme competitiveness. She's raised the bar in terms of, you know, what coaches need to do to win. You know, she had attended a game the first year, and she assisted Rick Barry in a game, and we got to talk to her, and you know, obviously she's been a fighter and a competitor her whole career.
Right.
But she knew how much work it would be to be successful in this league. And, you know, we love the idea of, you know, that she's a woman, but that's not why we brought her in. You
right.
know, we bring in people that we just think are the best. And it's funny because, you know, at first a lot of the press focused on, you know, that she was a woman and that we did this to be the first ones to have a female coach in a male professional league. But as we explained then, you know, we brought her in because we knew she could win.
Right.
And she had what it took. And lo and behold, she proved this right. You know, and at the press conference after they won the championship, if you were there, you saw every player
right.
gave credit to her.
Yes.
It was exciting.
And now there's a possibility of a championship between Nancy Lieberman and WNBA Hall of Famer Lisa Leslie between Power and the Triplets, because they're like 1-2 in the standings right now.
They're 1-2, and they played each other, and that game came down to the very end. It was really intense. You know, these coaches, they get their players looking at tape. They, you know, really do the research on tendencies. You know, they design plays specific for the opponent they're playing that week. They go in as fully prepared as I've ever seen a coach. As a Knicks fan, I wish that we had one of them. We need a coach like that.
I was about to ask you about the Knicks. You're a diehard Knicks fan, aren't you?
What, is there another kind? I mean, it's like, I've been a fan since I was 7. You know, I worked for Bill Bradley when he was senator and on his campaign, and
right.
you know, I've been a Knicks fan through and through. I'm very disappointed at the current ownership and how they treat players, and it's obviously taking its toll now that players don't want to be there. But, you know, I still maintain hope that things will come around.
One thing that stuck out to me is reports came out that Jim Dolan didn't want to offer Kevin Durant a max contract. I'm thinking in my mind, this is Kevin Durant. Like, why don't you try and give him the max? I mean, if he might even come back from this injury, wow, it's him. What's your thoughts on that?
It was not an authentic statement. You know, he said if they had met with Kevin, he wouldn't have given him the max contract. You know, they didn't even meet. And it just shows how defensive and absurd he is.
Okay.
You know, and look, the Nets were happy to oblige. If you look back in my Twitter account, you'll see back in May, I predicted that Kyrie and KD were both going to go to the Nets, and they did. And I believe that because, you know, New York is such a great basketball city.
Yes, it is.
The thing you'll say about Madison Square Garden is you have this team that hasn't won since 72, 73.
Right.
But they still saw out all their games. And the fans love basketball.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Nets, they came in with a chip on their shoulder as an organization, and they really, you know, have been aggressive in trying to build. And there's just a much more player-friendly atmosphere there.
Yeah, you guys did get R.J. Barrett in the draft. I think he's going to bring a new culture, help bring the culture back to the Knicks.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they got an MVP caliber player in Porzingis, and they figured out how to not make him as effective and piss him off.
Yeah, now he's going.
So, you know, it's. I think there needs to be an organization change there, because I think agents are oversending their good players there. I think that they don't feel that players are allowed to grow and you know, maximize their talents.
Right.
And it's just a shame.
Your 3-year career is impressive. I mean, your resume is so impressive. What is it like being COO of Cube Vision? I mean, you and Ice Cube have done so much together. Can you speak on your partnership and the chemistry you two guys have?
Yeah. I mean, the thing about Ice Cube is, you know, he's such a genius. Creatively, he's such a great person. And he also, you know, works as hard as anyone I've ever met. And, you know, what we share is that we don't want to do anything unless we think it's going to be quality and great. It doesn't mean we succeed all the time.
Right.
But we go into things not because of a check, but because we think we can do some great work. You do great work, checks come, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, we're doing everything for charity, but our first priority is to, you know, help leave the world better than we found it and to contribute,
right.
You know. I like to say that we both like money. We like nice things.
Right.
But we don't love money, you know. But we do love our work. So we share that lack of being willing to compromise.
Right.
And it's refreshing.
I mean,
and unusual in Hollywood.
I mean, besides Ice Cube, you worked with some major music and acting celebrities, from Snoop Dogg, Leonardo DiCaprio, Samuel Jackson. I mean, how's it being around this type of talent, like, daily, basically, when you do major projects?
Well, it was an honor to work with a lot of the people I worked with. You know, Jennifer Lopez, brilliant, also works very hard, super talented. Actually, I think the most underrated actress there is. And, you know, just the thing that was great is I got to work with people in all genres. You know, the Dixie Chicks, the Backstreet Boys, Linkin
right.
Park and Korn and Limp Bizkit, as well as, you know, Snoop is amazing. And, you know, I've gotten, I've gotten very lucky. I've been able to work with people whose work I admire and love. And, you know, now, you know, we get to continue doing that as producers. Right. You know, we've discovered a lot of talent on Hip Hop Squares. And, you know, we continue to do that. And now we cast movies. You know, you look at the casting of Straight Outta Compton, including Ice Cube's son.
Right.
You know, we were able to really, you know, expose new stars. And, you know, I get to work with my heroes in basketball, which is also, it's my life is hard in terms of having a lot of work.
Right.
And, you know, the things that I take on are often not the easy road.
Right.
And when I say that, I mean, you know, Cube and I both share that. But, you know, the good side of it is that when you work hard and, you know, you bring a lot to it, you know, other people who work hard and who are the best at what they do are attracted to it. So that's how I get to work with the Amari Stoudemires and the Joe Johnsons and the Royce Whites, you know, people who,
right,
you know, come in and are willing to be inspired and trust us. And it's a very lucky thing.
Yeah, you guys produced Straight Outta Compton. That movie just took off and made a lot of money. Like, what goes into your thought process when you think about an idea that you want to produce?
I mean, it has to be something we believe is going to be great. I mean, that's really the be all end all of it. You know, Straight Outta Compton, we developed for 14 years. And for a long time, we weren't actively developing it.
Right.
Because the timing wasn't right. And, you know, the timing became right. And, you know, once we got into it, then it was about really doing it, you know, 100%. So.
When you're doing
I think that's why it worked. Cube put everything into that movie. You know, Cube produced it.
It was a good movie. It was a good movie.
Yep.
And you got the Big Three recently moved to a new platform. You guys moved to CBS. How's that move playing off for the league? Because I see a lot more coverage now.
Yeah, it's paying off huge. I mean, it's the number one network. You know, we were able to get you know, slots on Saturdays and Sundays, you know, and it's just
right.
The bigger audience. You know, Fox, it was a great thing that Fox did for us, you know, putting us on in our first year,
right,
something that's very rare for a new sports league. But, you know, overall, you know, CBS was definitely brought more to it. And, you know, they were given something that was already, you know, on its way to being successful, too. So we're very grateful that they realize that and believe that. And it's been great. I mean, we've gotten in front of millions of more people.
I'm sure it's a lot to think about, but out of all your accomplishments over your career, are there any that sticks out more than others? Like, is there a special venture you've done that sticks out, like, this is special than the rest, more special than the rest?
If I had to pick anything, I think it would be Straight Outta Compton. It's hard to pick it, you know, maybe Big Three, you know?
Right.
Because it was so... Yeah, everybody told us it was impossible. Straight Outta Compton meant a lot because, you know, I always believed that through art you could really reach people and touch them and get them to look at things in different ways. And I believe the movie succeeded on that level. I think it opened a lot of people's eyes. And, you know, that was just really satisfying to sit in the theater and, you know, in white neighborhoods to see 90% white audiences understand what NWA meant for the first time.
Yeah, that was crazy. That was really crazy. I had the pleasure of interviewing Gary Payton on the last episode of the NBA panel. What's your thoughts on what he's brought to the Big Three besides trash talk? Because you know that's a big thing with Gary.
No, I didn't hear who you said. Who you said?
I said I had the pleasure of interviewing Gary Payton on the last episode of NBA panel. I know he brings a lot of trash talk.
Gary's unbelievable. You know, again, another guy who didn't need to do this, believes in the league, brings 100%, coaches to win, and it's just been an incredible thing, you know. And he's been so supportive and such a just a mentor, you know, and both for me and Cube as well as for the players. It's been great. I mean, obviously, we're very lucky to have him.
Yes,
he's intense. But it all comes from nothing but a great place.
Definitely. Yeah, the Big Three tips off week 7 this weekend in Chicago with Milwaukee. Definitely looking forward to that. Definitely.
Yeah, Chicago is our third year back to it. So we're very excited to go back. It's our first year in Milwaukee, which, you know, has turned into quite the basketball city. So we're obviously excited to get there. And I know they're both going to be pretty intense days just because, you know, as we're getting on in the season, all these games have real playoff implications. So we're going to see a lot of hard-fought basketball.
Can you tell me how your journey through law school helped prepare you for your career? I mean, besides the legal standpoint,
the law is involved in so many things, and
right.
Just understanding how to make deals, understanding how to build things. You know, when you build your own business, no matter what, there's always law involved. And there's also just, you know, to be at Harvard Law and learn from the best, you know, how to think, you know, a lot of the way they approach law is teaching the students how to think.
Right.
And I think that was probably the biggest asset I got there. I loved it, you know, being challenged by the smartest people out there, people smarter than me, which I always like to be around people smarter than me.
Yeah, that's a good place to be. You're always learning. Can never learn enough.
Yep.
Can never learn enough. Jeff, thank you.
So,
go ahead.
Yeah, no, that's it. I was just going to say, the other person smarter than me is my wife, and I got to get her to Chicago and dinner here. I really appreciate it, and you know your support of the league. We need all the support we can get, and you know, we're definitely all excited about where it's going.
Definitely, it's going to keep growing. I can see it. I can definitely see it. And thank you so much.
That's what we're counting on.
It will, believe me. Thank you so much for your time. I know you're a busy person. Thank you for stopping by the NBA panel. I look forward to seeing you next time I cover a venue or Def Tron catch up with you. Thanks for joining me. Yes, that was episode 124 of the NBA panel. We were joined by Big Three co-founder Jeff Kwatnitz. Thanks again for the Big Three for coming through the NBA panel again. Last week was Gary Payton. Thanks for joining me. Catch you next time.